بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا محمد ذي القدر العظيم، وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه إلى يوم الدين. اللهم فقهنا في الدين، وعلمنا التأويل، وألهمنا رشدنا يا رب العالمين. الحمد لله. We're in lesson 5 of our lessons on the essentials of Islamic beliefs, where we're looking at the Kharida of Imam Ahmad al-Dirdir. And we're looking at the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is necessarily described by. Those qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala necessarily possesses. So we began the look at the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by looking at the attribute of existence, right? That Allah necessarily exists. He is, must be, and cannot not be. And Allah's being the necessary existent has implications. It has implications. These implications are what we call the attributes of negation, the sifat as-salbiyya. These are often also referred to as the attributes of transcendence. Of transcendence. They affirm the greatness of God, right? The qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is exalted beyond. And we looked at these 5 attributes of negation. So that's and we took the definitions of each of these, and these are important, right? So that when we think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we engage in remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these are meanings that we reflect upon. And this is one of the ways that we connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the study of the science of belief. So if you're sitting and you're saying Alhamdulillah, right? Or you're saying Allahu Akbar, right? These are meanings to reflect upon, right? That, you know, Allahu Akbar, that, you know, Allah is absolutely greater. In what? In His being itself, right? In His being absolutely eternal. He has no beginning. In His being without end. In His being absolutely distinct. In His being absolutely independent. Allahu Akbar in His oneness. And the most important of these, which is really what all the others relate to as well, is oneness. Right? Is because we talk about Tawheed, the science of, you know, of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we said that the oneness of Allah is an attribute of negation. What does it do? It negates any multiplicity for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is absolutely one in His entity. So He Himself is not made up of parts. And He is absolutely one. There is no other who is like Him. Neither in His entity, likewise in His attributes. Every attribute of Allah is absolute and absolutely perfect. They're not made up of parts. Right? So Allah's power is not made up of different aspects that come together. Right? Allah subhanahu, and none has attributes like the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? One of the ways of knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to reflect on oneself. That if you think about the knowledge of Allah, you think about your own knowledge. Right? That our knowledge is limited, it's acquired, it's fleeting, while Allah's knowledge is absolute, it's not acquired, it's eternal. And we looked at some of the principles related to that. Today we're going to be expanding a little bit on the actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is one of the aspects related to understanding divine oneness. And this, you know, is one of the most practical ways of nurturing conscious awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is called Tawheedul Af'al, the oneness of divine actions. Right? And this is a meaning that Allah points us to throughout the Quran. قُلْ كُلٌّ مِّنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. Say, it is all from Allah. وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُمْ وَمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah has created you and all that you do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that He is Al-Khalaq. He is the all-creating. Allahu khaliqu kulli shay. Allah is the creator of absolutely everything. And even the little things, He tells us, هو الذي أضحك وأبكى. He is the one who makes you laugh and cry. And so understanding causality is the first thing that we're going to be looking at today, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Yeah. And dispelling some confusion about that. And we're studying the science of Islamic belief systematically. So by studying, firstly, like right now, because we're studying the attributes of negation and the oneness of Allah, we look at this issue of causality. Then we're going to be looking at the affirmative attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in looking at the affirmative attributes, we'll look at the will and power of Allah. So after that, we'll be looking at the issue of destiny and divine decree. Right? Qada and Qadr. And how does human responsibility play into it? But sort of, we'll take that a couple of lessons from now. And then there is something that most would accept intuitively, but requires some understanding, and the author mentioned it in the text itself, that the absurdity of infinite regress, right? The fact that this world is, the reality that this world is created and it needs a creator, there is the obvious objection, well, what if things just created each other? Right, so that's, it's like this. Or that there is infinite regress, that everything was created by something before it, in an unending change, into the undefined past. We're going to look at it broadly, and for those interested, there's an assignment for this coming up, as you'll see. And then we'll be touching upon the transcendence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So today we're looking at lines 25 to 31. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And we'll also touch briefly upon what he mentions at the end, which is that he, just as at the beginning, he keeps referring to different names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? And this is an important aspect of coming to know Allah, mighty and majestic, right? It's to know Allah by mentioning, by understanding, by reflecting upon His most beautiful names. Right? So, causality. And this causes a lot of confusion for a lot of people. That's part one today. That in affirming the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right, we affirm with complete certitude that Allah is the sole creator of everything. Everything is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At a simple level, this is clearly affirmed in the Qur'an. Right? Why? You know, the verses that we mentioned. Reason would also affirm that they can ultimately only be one cause. And he'll touch upon that. But the question that arises, right, is what is meant by Allah being the cause of all causes, right? Allah's being the sole creator, right? And he touches upon that, right? And so he says, وَالْفِعْلُ وَالْتَأْثِيرُ لَيْسَ إِلَّا لِلْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَارِ جَلَّ وَعَلَى. And know that that effecting is for none but the overpowering one. Mighty is He. And then he describes two erroneous understandings of this in lines 26 and 27. So, causality, and know with certitude that effecting, that every effect that we see, Allah is the one who made it happen, right? This only belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we say that A caused B, right? So I sip the coffee and I experience some taste. And for those of you who've read about the monk of Mocha, right? The most exciting thing about the monk of Mocha is not the monk of Mocha, is the fact that early in the book he mentions Ru'afza, which is very interesting, right? Because the journey of reviving Yemeni coffee began with the blessing of one of the most unhealthy drinks in the world, right? Because he went to drop off. Anyway, that's a separate story. What we mean by causality, that A caused B, there's effective causality and observed causality. Right? Effective observed causality is that if I, you know, let's say one of the sisters sitting fell asleep, so someone threw something at her and she woke up, right? So I woke up because someone threw a coaster at me. No ideas of throwing the coaster, right? But let's say it woke her up, right? Now if we say that Allah is the sole actor, if I say that Sister Zubaydah threw the coaster and the other sister, and Sister Lubna woke up. So I ascribed causality to Zubaydah. Did I commit shirk? No. Why? Because we affirm both, you know, by observation, right? When we say common sense, right? If you think about when we say common sense, right? It's the things that we see, right? Common sense, right? If you think about it, it's what our senses would, you know, it's right in front of us, right? I have mastered the art of spilling coffee. Right? So when I used to travel, I knew which clothes I'd worn, not because I sorted them nicely in my bag, but because everything that was worn was stained. So anything unstained was unworn. Very simple. Right? So we observe a relationship between someone throwing and the coaster falling between Umar and Zayn, right? It's okay, it's redundant. Okay, right? So You know, did I throw it? Right. So if I went like that, I'm really bad at it. Just we can keep it there, right? I threw it. But if we say that Allah is the sole actor, He is the cause of all causes, then what about my throwing the coaster? Is it called a coaster? Yeah. Right. Right. Because we affirm observed causality. Right. If you recall, we talked about three types of rulings earlier on. Right. There's a rational ruling, there's a normative ruling, and there's a legal ruling. Legal ruling is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us to do this or not to do that, right? So that's not what we're talking about. When we say that I threw that coaster, right? What kind of ruling is this? Let's do the hands up thing. What kind of ruling is that? Normative. It's a normative ruling, right? It's to affirm one thing for another on the basis of observation. That there's a relationship between my act of throwing, you know, my choice to throw, right? There's a relationship between my choice to throw and the resultant action. So we affirm that. That is observed causality, right? And we affirm this. But this observed causality does not tell us who created the action. All it affirms is there's a relationship between my act of throwing, my choice to throw, and the resultant action. Effective causality, on the other hand, is to take something from non-existence into existence. That's something completely different. That's a rational ruling. That's a hukum aqli. That's something that would be discerned by... It's not dependent on observation alone, right? So obviously, if we look at fire, do we say it burns? Yes. But what kind of ruling is that? Just a normative relation. The fire burns just because there's a relationship between this thing in front of me and burning. That's it. But is the fire the cause of the burning? No. So does it burn or not? Anyone disagree? Anyone disagree that the fire burns? No one. I would. Okay. Anyone disagree? How could you make an argument that no, the fire does not burn? Well, you can confuse someone and then say, well, I'll confuse you. You're in the right direction. And yeah, we say the fire burns and doesn't burn. Right? How does the fire burn? Because we observe it to burn. Right? To observe a relationship. How does the fire not burn? No. Let's say it does, right? Like it's a big fire. Like so someone puts, you put like a real potato chip, not the synthetic ones. Much of what you eat is not actually directly from potato. Like no one cut the potato in that way. Right? It's all reconstituted. It's fake. Soon it won't have potato in it either. But that's something else. Right? And I can sort of badmouth potatoes because I don't like them anyways, but so that's true, but it's not the possibility that it won't burn. Let's say it always burns, right? Like if someone puts their little finger and there's a big butcher's knife and it's going to fall on it, finger's going, right? So how would you say that the knife doesn't cut the finger? The knife cuts the finger. Or after the fact, someone stuck their finger in the fire just to test, and finger got scorched. How would you say that the fire does not burn the finger? Not through the fire. Right? You have to be careful. Right? That when we say the fire burns, all we're saying is there's a relationship between the fire and the burning. And we say this. So you can go on saying, you know, I feel full because I had a good, you know, good meal. The good meal, feel full. Drank water, I'm not thirsty anymore. I cut the tomato with this knife. You can say that. But don't believe it. Okay? Don't believe it. Why? Because if we step back a moment, who created the fire? It's not a trick question. Allah. Now, how is the fire existing at this moment? No, but that's not it. Yeah, that's just the observed relationship, but who created the match? Yeah, that's a very important aspect. Allah is sustaining everything at every moment. Right? So fire, like, how is the fire there at this moment? Right? The coffee and the cup, and the one lifting it. Right? And the one moving it, and the one tilting it, and the one sipping it, are all being sustained at every moment by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So there is the choice to throw, and then there's the act of throwing. The one choosing, how do they exist? Allah is sustaining them. Allah is the one who, at every moment, anything that is in existence is only in existence because Allah not only created it, but He is sustaining it at every moment. That's how things exist. And the fact that there's order in creation is because Allah has chosen that there be order in creation. Right? He's chosen that you will not see in the sunnah of Allah any imbalance. Right? That there's a balance in things. There's a wisdom in it. I was really amazed. I was so happy. I got totally distracted with what my doctor was actually telling me. It was a routine visit. Because my father was suggesting I take all kinds of extra tests and didn't need them. But I asked my doctor. Cause I don't know anything about medicine, so I kind of did a cheat sheet. I asked my dad some questions. And he said, make too many suggestions. So I went, pretending I knew some stuff, asked my doctor, like, you know, should I take extra tests for, you know, like, health of the heart? And he said, you know, most of the tests on the heart are useless. Unless you're in serious health problems, because the problems don't get manifest until things are totally out of whack. Otherwise, most of the tests, and you can put this dye in and all this stuff, you can't tell very much. Even though there may be problems, because the heart is just such a reliable organ. Right? Even uncles who hit their 60s, you know, bad health, no, you know, bad diet, no exercise, the heart's still pumping. Right? And that's by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sustaining it in that way. But we believe that everything at every moment is being sustained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we observe a relationship between cause and effect, and we act accordingly. So don't stick your finger in the fire, right? Don't throw something at your friend and say, well, maybe it won't hit, because if you throw it at her, it'll hit. Right? So we behave according to these norms. But that does not mean that the fire created the burning. It does not mean that the knife created the cutting. All it affirms is the relationship between the two. The knife is, how did the knife come into existence? Allah brought it into existence. How does the knife remain in existence? Allah is sustaining it at every moment. He is Al-Hayyul Qayyum. He is the living, the giver of life. He is the sustaining who needs none to sustain him, who's sustaining everything at every moment. Right? Which is why there's so much emphasis, and always, and we see from the Sunnah, we teach right from childhood, but don't teach words, teach meanings. That when you begin eating, you say, Bismillah. Because it's not the food that is filling you. The food is from, it's not just create, that Allah helped, like, you know, sometimes we think Allah is sort of the general assistant for the universe. Right? He sort of, he does some nudges here and there. Right? Like things are going bad, oh, you get the great nudger to help you a little bit. No. There's no name called the nudger. Right? He is the creator, the sustainer. Right? And everything is from him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So observed causality is just a relationship between two things. Actual causality, which is when you say Allah is the sole cause for all that exists, is that it is Allah alone who brings things from non-existence into existence. Right? Why would you say Alhamdulillah if it was the food that fills you up? It's not just because it is the food was created by Allah. It has come to you from Allah. He is the one who's maintaining it at every moment. That feeling of, you know, of satiation, of hunger going away. Who created that feeling? And everything, it is all from Allah. Right? It is all from Allah. Right? So the oneness of Allah, right? That it's not just that Allah is one, right? Him, but that He is one in His attributes and He is one in His actions. Right? Wahidun fi af'alihi la fa'ila siwa. He is one in His actions. There is no actor but Him. Right? But the action, what we, when we talk about the actions of Allah, what we mean by the action of Allah is Allah creating and originating. Allah creating and originating. Right? And that relates directly to trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the cave, right? It wasn't some just a brave act of super faith that he said, do not fear, Allah is with us. But it's, because that is reality. That is a statement of reality. Now, being conscious of that reality is a spiritual rank. But that is true. Right? And does that apply only to the Prophet ﷺ in the cave with Abu Bakr? No, it's a reality. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ And He is with you, wherever you may be. That is how we understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? That He is with you. How is He with you? Because He is the one who is sustaining you at every moment. Anything that your eyes can fall upon, that your thoughts can consider, it is in existence. That is created. It is Allah who has created it and it is Allah who is sustaining it. Say, it is all from Allah. Is there an exception to that? You say, well, it's all from Allah except this cup. I made it at the Toronto Harbour Front. They used to have this glass exhibit. Everything. There's no exception. Right? So that's the action of Allah. إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ His command or His way, if He wills anything, is simply to say be and it is. And that's all of existence. Right? Be and it is. Right? And there's no exception from that. So, what about our actions then? Don't we have ability? Right? We do. But our actions are choices. Right? Just as Allah has created us, He has placed this subtle, undeniable reality of choice within us. Right? And that choice, you know, our will, our abilities, we can call our power, right? Our will, when we choose to do something or not to do something, and then our directing our ability towards it, right? This choice is not denied. Right? That's, I chose to lift this cup, right? There's no denying it, right? But that does not mean that I created it. Right? This is why the Prophet ﷺ said to the companions that لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله كنز من كنوز الجنة. That, you know, there is no ability nor power except by Allah is a treasure of the treasures of paradise. And interestingly, he did not say saying it is a treasure of paradise. This meaning is a treasure of paradise. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. This is not the Muslim annoyance statement. You know, someone says something really, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. Right? Like, you know, we sort of, you know, we turn dhikr into our expressions of frustration. Right? Right? So I have a friend who was engaged 41 times. And he called off 41 engagements. How did I manage to help him get finally married? Well, I don't know if it was a good thing or a bad thing. The jury is still out. But the, you know, you hear, he called off another engagement, you say, La hawla la quwwata illa billah. Right? A surprise, you say, Subhanallah. Good thing happens, say, Alhamdulillah. Right? These are not sort of, this is, you know, SMRs, standard Muslim responses. Right? Someone dies, it, you know, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Each of these statements of daily dhikr, they summarize what we believe. They summarize what we believe. Each of them. Right? Now, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. The Prophet ﷺ said that this is a treasure of the treasures of paradise. Not saying it, this meaning, this reality. So when we say it, Allah is merciful, He rewards it. But the true impact of the dhikr that we say is not in saying it, but in the meaning. That the benefit of La ilaha illallah is not just in saying it. Like if you had a choice of two things, you could sit there conscious of the meaning of La ilaha illallah, or you could just be saying La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah 1,000 times without being conscious of it. Or you could have a moment of consciousness of that meaning. Which matters more? Get what? Which is the first? I'm not good with numbers. Repeating it 1,000 times or a moment of consciousness? Yeah. All of us would say that, right? Right? It's like Zubair says to Zubair, I love you 1,000 times. But he never actually meant it. But one moment he really meant it, but didn't say it. That means a lot more. It is better to maintain these meanings, but that's another matter. Right? So, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله, right? That there is no ability whatsoever, nor any power whatsoever, except by Allah. So are we saying that nothing has any ability? Are we saying that nothing has any ability? Are we saying that? No. We're saying that nothing has any ability whatsoever or any power whatsoever of itself, effectively. Right? That all ability, absolute will belongs to Allah. Absolute power belongs to Allah. But do we not have will and power? Do we not have ability and power? We do, but billah, by Allah. That just as we are created, we have a created choice that Allah has placed within us. Right? And it's just as you wouldn't deny that you're alive. Right? But your life, is it independent life? No, it's dependent life. Allah created your life. Right? You exist, but dependently, because Allah is sustaining you. Likewise, if you are dependent on Allah, the will that you have, the ability you have, are also dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it's very real. Right? But we affirm it, but we realize that it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? That it is Allah's will that is effective. Allah's power that is effective. It is Allah's will and power that make things happen, that bring things into existence. Our choices, right, are not denied. But there are exerting our created will and our power, and all they establish is the relationship between what we did and the result. And likewise, everything in creation, right, that the knife, it cuts because we observe this relationship, but we have no sense that it is the knife that caused the cutting. It is all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? It is all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? And that applies to everything. Right? That applies to everything. Whoever, the Prophet said, whoever finds the good, let them praise Allah. مَنْ وَجِدَ خَيْرًا فَلْيَحْمَدِ اللَّهِ. Why? Because it is not your intelligence that made you pass the exam. It's from Allah. Why? Because who's sustaining you? Allah. Who placed that intelligence within you? That's a trick question. Right? Because did He place the intelligence in you? Right? That's what's coming up next, right? It's a wrong understanding. That we don't believe, and this is the obvious way of making, that Allah put capacities in things. And they use those capacities somehow independently of Allah. And most people have this muddy understanding that, okay, well, the medicine, well, Allah created these properties in the medicine. So when you ask the question, for most, for a lot of believers, so who healed? Say, it's complicated. So did Allah heal or the medicine healed? Which one is it? The answer is actually both, right? It's both, right? We affirm that there's a relationship between the medicine and the healing, right? Yeah? But who created the medicine? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ultimately, right? Because everything, you say, well, the lab did. Who created the lab? And you go back, it is all from Allah. There's one cause. Who's sustaining all of this at every moment, right? Everything in existence, right? The stage of existence is only there because it is Allah sustaining all of this. Right? Were it not for that, it would all disappear. Right? Right? There's no independence in existence. So, we don't believe that things have properties by which they have effects. Yes, things of course have qualities. You know, you get to know that with people too. There's some people who are reasonable and there's some who are not. Right? People, same thing. Some coffee you know will taste good and some won't. Some people will make good coffee, some will make bad coffee. But So we believe without doubt that Allah is the creator of the cause and He is the creator of the effect and the relationship between them. Right? Now, then He tells us that asserting that things effect by their nature or by necessity is disbelief according to in our religion. And affirming that things effect by God, by God-given power, is sinful innovation, so pay no attention. Right. The first one is a more obvious error, right? That things have necessary qualities, and it's those necessary qualities that create it. So the fire necessarily burns. God has nothing to do with that. Right? Humans procreate and children are born. God has no role in any of this. Right? This would deny the reality of God. Right? Or if you say that the relationship between things is one of, and by natures or necessity, they use the exact, they're similar, and I don't want to unpack. Illa, some of the philosophers is like, so it's a necessary cause. So there's the world has a necessary first cause. God's the first mover. But once the ball's rolling, it is rolling down the hill. Needs no one to roll it, right? It's like if the finger moves, the ring will move. It's a necessary relationship between the movement of the finger and the movement of the ring. That's the nature of this world. God got the ball rolling, and then it just rolling. Let's call it that. Okay, so how's the ball in existence? That's the question, right? How does it remain in existence? Forget the rolling of the ball. Okay? How is the ball in existence right now? So you think a ball going down. Say, well, it's only going down because it's on a slope. It's okay. Let's step back a little bit. How is that mountain in existence in the first place? Right? So we would say that everything besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is only in existence because someone not only created but is sustaining it at every moment. So thinking that anything is independent of Allah absolutely is contrary to beliefs. Allahu khaliqu kulli shay. Allah is the creator of absolutely everything. All prophets came with this message. Of course, this got confused in other faith traditions, right? And it causes a lot of trauma, a lot of spiritual trauma, even to the religious leadership of other people. If you're not clear on this, then how do natural disasters happen? It's very painful. When there's a huge tsunami in the early 2000s, the Archbishop of Canterbury said, this made me question God. Maybe I had doubts about God. And then Imam Zay showed me his video. This is pre-YouTube. He was visiting Jordan. I was in Jordan at the time. And there's this Indonesian family. And a lot of the houses in Indonesia are elevated as it is. Right? Because there's always a lot of rain and stuff. But the water level was rising inside the house. Like, you know, from the effects of the tsunami. And they're all smiling, content. And they're gathered together and they're making dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because at that moment, they were waiting for the rescue team, but there's nothing they could do. And they're not shaken, but someone sitting comfortably in England is having doubts about God. Right? Why? Because it is all from Allah. It is all from Allah. And you see that faith in so many of our elders. You go visit older people, and they're like, yeah. I have a very close relative. They had a kidney transplant. I thought it was a very easy operation because they didn't complain once. The only time I figured out something was kind of difficult, when the doctor came at, on a level of 1 to 10, how much is the pain level? So it was about 9.5. Whoa. Yeah. I'm quite pain sensitive. I don't like the idea of pain. Why? That's faith. Because if you see it as being from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're able to respond to it accordingly. So we don't think that things affect by their nature. But then a lot of people imagine, well, Allah placed that ability in the thing. And this is unsound. Because once the ability is placed, then is Allah sustaining that thing or not? And there's no way you can answer that question, right? Because it's either is Allah sustaining it, then it is Allah who's the one who caused it, and not that ability. We say things have abilities, but the ability is not effective. It is not the cause of the result, right? So the knife does not cut by its nature, right? That, well, Allah placed the quality of cutting in the knife. No. Right? Yes, it has that quality, but it is Allah who creates the cutting. Right? And this is a common misbelief. We imagine that things benefit and harm. And it's all delusion. Because if you actually thought it through rationally, right? We go into a job interview. And a lot of people are worried. Oh my God, what if they do this? They can't benefit or harm you in any way whatsoever. Right? And you want evidence of this? Just see the whole life of the Prophet ﷺ. Look at the life of the companions. Look at the life of the righteous of this ummah and just the pious people. Right? They have complete certitude. They have complete certitude. Right? Nothing benefits or harms. Right? Of course, we take the means. We take the means. Right? But our hearts are not attached to the means. Because we see it is all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the balance by which we navigate our lives. Right? So, we practically, you know, anything, any relationship that we see, right? We have to look with two eyes, right? The eye of faith is that this is from Allah. The eye of responsibility is how do I respond to this matter? But we look with both matters, right? We look with both eyes. Otherwise, you have a skewed sense of existence. And understanding this dispels our worries and our fears and our concerns, right? Because if you imagine that things benefit and harm, there's so many things around you, you should be, thank God we don't think too much. If you think that, well, things have qualities, well, if you think about it, there's a possibility that the roof could collapse, and there's a possibility. All kinds of things could happen. I have a friend who's like that. He has regular bouts of... He gets scared of all kinds of things. He didn't tell me about this till we're both together in England. And I left my iPad at someone's home. So I had to go buy another one because I need it for my work. So I said, come... So he came with me and we're entering the mall. I said, I'll just walk around the mall. Now, it's a huge mall. I said, just come inside. So he came. He started freaking out. I said, so went to the store. He said, come in. He said, I have to go. And then just disappeared. He went back. He's from another country. Just totally disappeared. 6 weeks, he said, I was in recovery. I said, why? And of course, it's a more complicated issue. But he actually thinks about everything, all the possibilities. What if someone here would harm me? What if this, right? And thank God Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clothed us in unawareness. We actually don't think about things. But there's people like that. Don't go to family, because someone could hurt me. Someone could do this. Someone could be sick. Someone could be this. Right? And it's a recipe for misery. And it's not reality. Because none of that can benefit or harm you in any way. We deal with cause and effect. But we know that it's just a relationship between two things. The creator is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's something we need to train ourselves to reflect upon. That la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Right? So you're going to go to a job interview. This doesn't mean you just show up in your pajamas and say, well, hire me. And say, oh Allah, please give me a job. No. Right? We take the best of means. That is our responsibility. But our hearts are attached to none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? And this is very, very important. Right? In all the means around us. Right? All the means around us, in our own lives, in our own choices. We don't think that we're effective. Which is why we don't ascribe good to ourselves. This idea that yes, you can do it. Right? I was stuck once in a morning meeting at a place that serves over roasted coffee. So, itself a traumatic experience. I was trying to wake up. I looked at the cup and said, "You did this." I was like, sometimes I overthink things. Like, "You did this. It is because of you. And everything was you. You did it." You, like, oh my God. I was like, I actually didn't hear when the person came for the meeting. Because they made me show up early in the morning and then they were late. But I was locked. I was looking at this cup. Said, oh my God. Because it's shirk. I didn't do any of it. Firstly, I had nothing to do with the success of their company, even practically. I don't normally go there. But then I didn't do any of it. But then I figured that, spiritually speaking, you could say, you did it. It would work if you're addressing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You did it. Okay? Which is why, if you do anything good, it's not because Allah placed abilities within you. Right? مَنْ وَجِدَ خَيْرًا فَلْيَحْمَدِ اللَّهِ. Whoever finds the good, let them praise Allah. Why? Because He is sustaining you. All those good qualities within you, where did they come from? Did you cultivate them? And no. Because a lot of people cultivate all kinds of stuff, but I guess like gardening. Right? There's people, it doesn't grow, right? So it's all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You, your intelligence, your abilities, it's all from Allah. But it's there. Right? It's there. So what do? You praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. That's why we begin eating by saying Bismillah, by the name of Allah. And it'd be a good recap, self-testing question. Do I remember the meanings of Bismillah from the beginning of the course? And when we finish, we say Alhamdulillah. Because eating is a spiritual act. Not just because we do a bunch of sunnahs in it. All of them are meant to remind us of this reality. It's all from Allah. So we take the means, we eat. But it's هو الذي يطعمني ويسقيني. It is He who feeds me and gives me to drink. What the full verse is? No, from the beginning of it. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, he said, it is He who gave me food, and it is He who feeds me, and it is He who satiates me. Right? وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. And if I am sick, it is He who heals me. Right? And pay attention to the du'as of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the dhikrs of the Prophet. They all are telling us this meaning. Right? After we eat, it's not just a ritual act that we make these du'as afterwards. Du'as are vessels of meaning. Right? Du'as are like vessels of meaning. Right? But you pour the water of those meanings into your heart. That's what the benefit of the du'a is. Right? Like, what do we say after we eat? Like any of the, what's one sunnah du'a after you say Alhamdulillah? Alhamdulillah alladhi at'amana wa saqana wa ja'alana muslimin. All praise is due to Allah who has fed us and who has satiated us and who has made us Muslims. Did you eat? Yes. But who fed you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Did you drink? Yes, you did. But all of it is from Allah. Okay? But then you think about, these are material blessings. But always Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala connects the material with the spiritual. And He made us Muslims. What did you do to be a believer? So, well, I did this. And like, yeah, but all the means that you took, where did they come from? From Allah. Okay? That's what the people of paradise say when they enter paradise. Alhamdulillahi alladhi hadana li hadha. All praise is due to Allah who has guided us to this. وَمَا كُنَّا لِنَهْتَدِيَ لَوْلَا أَنْ هَدَانَ اللَّهِ. And we surely would not have been guided had Allah not guided us. It is all from Allah. It's a critical lesson. So everything, you know, so the practical, you know, the spiritual is the most practical in your life, actually, right? Like real life, you say, okay, well, there's a religion and there's real life, right? It's actually the other way around, right? The real life is religion. The other things are there, right? Is there, and they need to be taken care of, but that's not real life. Real life is the life that lasts. Is that around the day-to-day activities, consider the meanings of the du'as that you make. You ride the car. Right? What is the du'a when you get onto any mode of transportation? Subhanalladhi sakhara lana hadha. Glory be to the one who has granted us control over this, ability over this. وَمَا كُنَّا لَهُ مُقْرِنِينَ. And we would have no ability to control this. وَإِنَّا إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا لَمُنْقَلِبُونَ. And truly to our Lord are we ever returning. Right? All the du'as inculcate this meaning. Even when there's thunder and lightning, the du'as, glory be to the one that the lightning in the sky glorifies His praises. Because it's all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And that's the benefit of reflection. Yeah, like, you know, like you could all say, it's from Allah, right? At the point, you'd be like everything. قُلْ كُلٌّ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. Right? So that's something that we strive, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ ta'ala, to inculcate. Right? And it also clarifies a lot of confusions. Because if we see things in this way, we would not fear anything in existence. We would not worry about things in existence. We would place our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while taking the means. Right? So this is spiritual liberation, right? You're not imprisoned in this world of means. Right. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, the realization that there's no ability nor power except through Allah is a treasure of the treasures of paradise. Now, lines 28 to 31 tell us that were Allah not characterized by these attributes, you know, by the attributes that have been mentioned before, of Allah's necessary existence, by the attributes of negation, then He would be created, which would be absurd, right? Which would be absurd, that God cannot be created, right? Because if He were created, He would be merely possible, right? That's what we talked about. There's only things only take three rulings. Something's either necessary, possible or impossible. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not have necessary existence, He was not eternal without beginning, everlasting without end, etc. These five attributes of negation, removing any one of these would mean that He is created, which would be absurd. Why? Because it would mean that He was merely possible. And if He was merely possible, then He needs someone to bring Him into existence. And then the question would go back, then who brought that? If God were created, then who created God? Because then if God were created, He would not be God, actually. So it's absurd. It's not a real question. If God were created, He would not be God. He would be merely possible. And the possible cannot be the cause for the existence of other things. So who created Him? Okay? And it would, each of those would require a cause, right? Which would entail infinite regress. Each of those, you ask, is it eternal or is it created? If it's eternal, that is God, and everything else that you described as God was just a delusion. Otherwise, each of those things is merely what? Is merely possible, right? Because if something exists, things can only be necessary, possible, or impossible, right? The scale could either necessarily be affirming something, or it could be negating something, or it could be in balance. Right? It has three settings. Right? So, if we're saying that something exists, it could not be impossible. It couldn't be absurd. So, only two possibilities then. If something exists, it's either necessary existent or possible. And if it's possible, it needs something to bring it into existence. So, it's absurd to think that God could be created. All of these attributes need to be in place for God to be God. They're entailed by that. If we say that there is one, there is God, then all these attributes are entailed by that. Because you take any one of them away, then he's merely possible. And if he's possible, then he's not God. Right, which would be saying, well, God is not God. Then don't say it. Right? But then infinite regress. Someone say, well, I see no problem with infinite regress. Right? So we'll talk about that. Right? Circularity is more absurd. If you make a circle of five people, say, well, A was created by B. B was created by C. C was created by D, and D was created by A. So that's, you know, that is so absurd. They say, you know, if you can accept that, then, you know, then jump in the fire, it might not burn, right? It's absurd, right? So, these attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right, that we have, that his being the necessary existent, the personal attribute of Allah, being, the five attributes of negation. If you weren't characterized by any of them, it would mean that he is created. Which is absurd. Which is absurd. Because then, you have this idea of infinite regress. Right? What is infinite regress? That you have a chain of things. You know, A was created by B. B was created by C. C was created by D, all the way back, and there's no first cause. Each of these is merely possible. And if time itself, which is what envelops it, it is also merely possible. The most you could be saying is, I don't know. Right? I don't know. Right? Right? You say, well, the universe has always been there. What do you mean by always? Right? You keep going back and say, well, it's a pushback. There's this, yeah. And if you just patiently ask the question, what came before that? Right? Right? And all of those things are merely possible. And rationally, they require something to bring them into existence. Right? And that thing could only be a necessary existent, right? Each created thing is, you know, created by something before it, to no beginning. That is infinite regress. The problem is, each of them is merely possible. And a basic rational principle is, لا ترجيح إلا بمرجح, or لا رجحان إلا بمرجح, that they cannot be a preponderation except with a preponderator. All of these things were merely possible. All of them require something to take it from not existing into existence. And the only solution is that it requires something necessary, a necessary existent, and that is the originator, right? And it could only be one, right? Why? There's a detailed explanation, not that detailed, about 10 minutes. Sheikh Hamza Karamali, who's coming next month for our seminar on why we suffer. And for some people, going through these rational proofs is suffering itself. But in Why Islam is Written, we'll be sharing it this week, inshallah, the link to it. But you can, if you're in a rush, you can just look for it. If you go to Seekers Hub, look for Infinite Regress, Hamza Karmali, Sheikh Hamza. You can see it there. Right? He goes into the rigorous proofs of it. But rationally, it is unsustainable. Right? It is unsustainable. Right? Because if you saw a scale and it tilts, you'd say, well, there must be a cause. Right? And you keep going back, then you have not affirmed anything. All you affirm that you don't know what the first cause is. Right? And the fact that you don't know the first cause does not answer the question. Right? Does not answer the question. Which is one of the defenses of the philosophers was to say, I don't know, or it can't be known. Right? But that's just escaping that reality. Rather, and one way, and it's an acceptable way for intellect, say, I don't understand how the world was created. So, okay, no problem. Here is revelation. It gives you a clear, cogent, and undeniable reality. Not everyone needs to explore their faith on the basis of thorough reason. Okay? But it's good to be aware that I don't understand. One of the scholars in Damascus, someone said, I don't understand the proof against infinite regress. And the sheikh was a theologian. He says, but you admit you don't understand. Says, that's very good. Jigit. So then, if you don't know something, what do? You seek an answer. Right? Like if you don't know what's wrong with you, what do? You go seek an answer. And this is, you know, that's why the Quran begins by a self-definition. Right? This is the book in which there's no doubt, there's no confusion. Guidance for those seeking mindfulness. The opening of Surah Al-Baqarah. Right? So that's good. And not everyone has to investigate the rational proofs thoroughly. Because someone may not be rationally inclined. But you realize that, you know, there's this matter. I don't know, so let me search for an answer. And this is something that Allah calls us to throughout the Quran, right? That everything around us is created, it requires a creator. Everything around us requires a creator. And to see that sign, if you want to explore why is it a sign, then have the courage to delve into it soundly. Then he closes by saying, thus he is the majestic, the beautiful, the master, the pure, the holy, the high Lord. He is transcendent beyond indwelling and direction, beyond union, separation, and folly. Right? So he closes this section, partially because it's heavy. This idea of causality is heavy, but it's spiritually meaningful. Saying that, you know, God necessarily has these attributes is clear. Otherwise, he'd be created. Yes. Why? Otherwise, it would entail infinite regress. Takes us back to the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus, we affirm the majesty of Allah, Al-Jaleel, right? Which tells us about that Jalal is about the tremendous standing of Allah, right? Whose majesty everyone is humbled by, right? But the Jalal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, that's why it's usually Jalal and Jamal are mentioned together. Right? Right? that when you realize the majesty of God, you are humbled by it and you want to turn to Him. Right? Because He is the majestic, but He is also the most beautiful. Right? He is the most beautiful. All meanings of beauty are encompassed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Allahu Jameel. Yuhibbul Jameel. Allah is beautiful, said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And He loves beauty. But true beauty, right? The only beauty that matters is beauty that lasts. Right? The only beauty that matters is beauty that lasts. Right? Beauty that fades is not real beauty. Right? So, don't chase after it. Because it's a disappointment. He is the master, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? The pure, al-Quddus. Right? Al-Quddus, the one who is free from any imperfection, who has all the meanings of perfection. Right? You know, Al-Tahir, Al-Quddus, they're similar, the holy. Right? Al-Ali, the high in rank and station. Right? So given who Allah is, right? He is beyond indwelling. Allah is not in a place, because all place is created, He is eternal. He is beyond direction, because direction is created. Right? That should ring alarm bells. Anytime Allah, someone starts describing Allah in directions, this is, because all, what's a direction? A direction, so, you know, the sister who was sleeping against the wall, which is not Sister Hafsa, right? I don't. Someone seems quite guilty, but right, or and she wasn't. I don't think. Right, but let's say someone says she is to my right, but if I just move this way, she's behind me. Right, directions are relative. Why? A direction is a relationship. Is just a relationship between two things that take space. If space is created, then what is a direction? It's created. Right? They're saying Allah is above, below, in front. All of these are all what? These are delusions of the mind. Well, Allah is in the heavens. The heavens are created. We don't believe in the divine dive. God forbid. That Allah exists eternally. He created the world. And then what happened? Then He dived into the heavens? It's absurd. He's eternal. Anything that's given to change is created. How did He get into the heavens? Are you saying the heavens are eternal? It's absurd. Right? So anyone who talks about Allah in this kind of thing is corrupting people's beliefs. Right? Beyond union. Right? Hulul. Because anything created, Allah cannot become, He does not become one with it, and it does not become one with Allah. Right? Because Allah is eternal, untouched by time or space. Right? Those who talked about union with the divine are talking about the experience of realizing the closeness of Allah. And the closeness of Allah is the closeness of becoming conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? It's knowledge of Allah that becomes a lived reality. So you don't only know that Allah is the creator of all things, you behold that meaning. You see the creator first, then you see created. Then you see creation. هَذَا خَلْقُ اللَّهِ. This is the creating of Allah. You don't just say, yeah, that's true, but you behold that. Right? So, we don't believe in any direction for Allah. Directions are created. Imam al-Tahawi says in his creed, لَا تَحْوِيهِ الْجِهَاتُ السِّتْ. Right? None of the six directions contain Him, because they're all created. It's absurd. Right? There's no union. The poets talked about that, but it's But it's a way of expressing the realization of closeness. But what is the closeness of Allah? Right? It's that consciousness that He is sustaining you. وَصُولُكَ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَصُولُكَ إِلَى الْعِلْمِ بِهِ. You're reaching Allah, is you're reaching knowledge of Him. Right? That to become conscious of the reality that everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He's transcendent beyond folly. Right? Safa. رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. O Lord, You did not create this in vain. Right? Allah does not have needs. Right? Why did Allah create creation? Is there a need that God is fulfilling by creating us? No. Because when you say a purpose, what is a purpose? Right? It's something that you seek to fulfill that you haven't yet achieved. What is a purpose? And there's something that you want fulfilled that is not yet fulfilled. Right? So why did Allah create creation? That's something to think about. And we'll talk about that further when we look at the attributes of Allah. But Allah has no aim that He seeks to fulfill that is unfulfilled. There's no perfection that He seeks to acquire that He does not already have. But at the same time, we don't say that this is without aim and without purpose. And some faith traditions that said, you know, like the gods were having a party and they decided to play a big prank, and that big prank is called creation. That's why there's so much confusion in it. Right? And while it may be an interesting theory, it fails miserably in explaining reality. Right? One, because they can't be multiple gods, right? And gods are eternal, and God is eternal. He couldn't be having a party, right? So just the whole, it's cool, but it's disbelief, right? It's untrue. But we don't say that this is without purpose, right? So Allah is exalted beyond need, right? We speak carefully about Allah. But in these lines, he's pointing to the reality of knowing Allah by His most beautiful names. Right? That's something we're not going to expand on here, but it keeps coming up throughout the poem that Allah Most High says in the Quran, and Allah's are وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. Allah's are the most beautiful names, so call upon Him by them. Right? And we have a number of resources on Seekers, including an on-demand course, which is in quite a bit of detail on the 99 names of Allah.
So for Safa, the point is he's trying to say that Allah didn't create this world without a purpose?
No, Safa is, yeah, so we, because Allah has all perfections. Sometimes you don't, it's not a yes or no answer. We don't say that there is a purpose for this in the sense of an aim that is unfulfilled. Rather we say, He created this world with wisdom. Right? With wisdom. Because purpose can mean a need, something unfulfilled. But you have to be careful. One of the easiest ways of making someone stumble is to ask them a yes or no question. Did Allah create this world with purpose or no? Right? That's one of the way politicians and other, and media and, Trump trips people up. Is it with purpose or not? And the answer is not yes or no. The answer is, there is that God is wise, and everything, that all actions of the wise manifest wisdom. Right? Just as is God good? The answer is not yes or no. He said God is, and sometimes it's easy. Trick, most Christian theologians now don't know much about their own theology, let alone others' theology. But an intelligent Christian theologian, which Imam Fakhruddin Razi would argue has always been a rare creature, would although they've had brilliant theologians here and there, would trip up a common semi-educated Muslim by asking the question, is God good? Must God do the good? And he said, no, he doesn't have to do the good. Oh, so God is bad. So Muslim God is bad, our God is good. Like, they know two gods, one God. So that's not a yes or no question. We say God is pure. God is transcendent beyond all human qualities. Good and bad, rather we say God is merciful. All God's actions are mercy. Right? So we have to be careful how we talk about God. Sifa is to act without wisdom. Act without wisdom. Right? To act without wisdom. Imam al-Ghazali describes what is wisdom in Foundations of Islamic Belief. And actually the whole thing's available online. We should add it to the course resource if people want to read an extra resource. Yeah. That everything, like, things could not be more perfect than they are. Right? Things could not be more perfect than they are, if only we understood. So next lesson, inshallah, we're going to look at the affirmative attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.